You're listening to Business Lunch with Roland Fraser.
This is your seat at the table. Welcome to the show. This is Darren Clark, the producer, and today Roland talks with Kevin Harrington. Check out episode 42 if you want to hear more of his incredible story of success. But today we get to hear how Kevin Harrington has thrived and survived several economic downturns as he shares some of his personal experiences and the resilience that has enabled him to sell 20 companies to $100 million or more. Kevin was one of the original sharks on Shark Tank and brings a lot of wisdom to the table. As always, if you enjoy this podcast, be sure to subscribe, write a review, and share this episode with your business-minded friends.
Well, thank you so much, Kevin, for coming on today, and really, really awesome to have you here. And it's really cool, Kevin, that you took the time to do this, because I think the more that we can help people understand what the opportunities are right now and that it's going to be okay. And I know that you have thrived and survived through quite a few of these things now. Mm. Your reputation, I think, precedes itself. You've sold billions of dollars worth of stuff. I think it was 9 companies to 100 million or more.
Yeah, actually 20.
20 companies? Okay. Yeah. All right. Well,
thank you though.
Nice. 20 companies to 100 million or more. So you've seen downturns before, right? We had the 70s, 90s, 2000 bubble, the 2009 Great Recession. Would you just kind of share what your thoughts are about what's going on in terms of business, what you're seeing, and where you see opportunities and threats right now?
Yeah, sure. So one of the ones that I remember very vividly was when the Gulf War hit back in the early 90s. And I was sitting there with a company that was growing, and we were going from 50 million to 100 million in sales. And all of a sudden, when the Gulf War hit, it was just overnight, our sales went like dropped off a cliff, because people were tuning in to CNN and the news channels. We were the As Seen on TV guys and the infomercial guys. And so it's like, okay, do I want to get an update from CNN or do I want to watch this cheesy infomercial, right? And it was like, people were not watching our shows. They weren't buying. And so a series of events happened. Number one, we had some bank lines of credit. And so, you know, when you have bank lines, you have to keep certain ratios. And so the bankers came in and wanted to see how we're doing. Oh, well, you're not in ratio anymore. And so they literally, you know, were calling loans on us. Sales are down. And then we couldn't finance inventory. And so the bottom line is we learned quite a few things. So this is a long time ago, right? Now, yeah. Up to that point, as we were building our business, we decided to kind of do our own thing. We owned our own fulfillment center. We wanted to control our fulfillment. We had our own media company. And so we had 85 employees in fulfillment. We had 50-some in media. We had our own phone center with customer service and inbound and outbound. And then we had our own studio that had, you know, a ton, about 30, 40 employees. So we had hundreds and hundreds of employees. That was just in the United States. Then we had offices in London. And so we had built this business as if it was always going to just keep growing like Amazon, right? But we found out our business is more like a hit-driven business. And so we were on sort of that first side of the bell. And now, boom, we were at the bottom of the bell. But it didn't take us that long to figure out mistakes. We talked our bank into hanging with us. We didn't just let them just call the loan. You have to, you know, ask for favors. And of course, if they put you out of business, that's not something that they want to be involved with either. So, you know, there's the double-edged sword to that kind of thing. Now, the good news is for the Gulf War, it was about a 3-week to 2-month terrible window. But we didn't know how long it was going to be. But what happened is after everybody got their updates and they got a chance to go check out, I mean, we found more people were actually going to television. And then eventually, after they watched the CNN updates, they were then coming around to see, oh, well, what else is on? And so then about 3 to 4, 5, 6 weeks later, things started back up again. But it taught us a couple things. We were running week to week. And, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs probably do that. But literally, if we didn't have decent sales each week, we were replenishing our working capital, our inventory, our media buys on a week-to-week basis, because I had funded this company with a total of $25,000 when I started it, and then we got some lines of credit because we were carrying so much inventory. That's how we were growing the business. Make a long story short, though, we said to ourselves, we are not, Amazon didn't even exist back then, but we are not a company that goes like this, like Amazon. We're more cyclical. We're more like movies, right? So we changed our whole business model. We said, let's sell the fulfillment center, sell the media company, sell the phone center, sell the studio. And by the way, we owned a bunch of real estate in all of this. So where we had bought on the real estate and when we sold, we actually made a profit. So we were selling off assets, letting people go, and then farming it out for subcontractors. We could get a box delivered for $1 a box. Why do we need to have 85 employees in our own warehouse? Media company, we kept a couple of the top people, but we used outside agencies, managed it with a small staff instead of having our own whole media department. Production studio, we had a 35,000 square foot studio, sold it, and built a little state-of-the-art 5,000 square foot studio that we didn't need all that big overhead and exposure. So as we did this, our banking people were happy. Sales bounced back. There was something else that we learned in all of this. And this was a very important lesson too. When the bankers came in, they said, look, there's a couple of issues. Your sales are down, but that also then accelerated our returns and chargebacks. Okay. So think about it. If you're doing 100 million and you have 8 million in returns, 10%, right? Not too bad. And then you have maybe a million or so in chargebacks, that goes well with the bankers. When your sales drop to 50% or 30% of that, and you're still running those returns and chargebacks, now your ratios are way haywire. So, and it would look like we were running 30% returns, 3% chargebacks. So, so they not only were calling the loan, but they wanted a big reserve for our merchant account. They wanted an extra $2 million. Okay. So it was just like double whammy all the way around. Now, what we ended up figuring out though, is that we really had bad returns on one major problem product. And so it was a quality issue coming from the factory. It wasn't our fault, but when we took those numbers out of all the equations, the rest of our company was really running very solid. But we only had one merchant account. So we then said, going forward, this is what we need to do. Sell off assets and now use transactional suppliers and third-party purveyors and then also set up a separate LLC for each entity that we had, because if we've got one problem product, we're going to see it immediately. We can shut that company down. But you did not have it affect the other 10 that we've got.
You did one entity per product then? Is that what you did?
One LLC per product and one merchant account per product. So anyway, those are some of the things that we learned along the way. Now, when I think back, just thinking about some of the personal things that I also started doing, like, at that time, personally, I said to myself, wow, I should have some personal lines of credit also. I mean, I had a nice house. It had a lot of equity in it. And hey, why didn't, prepare for the rainy day? Go get a personal line of credit, even if you don't need it, but you never know when you're going to need it, because what happens if business cuts off for 3 or 4 months, right? People don't, they're not waking up every day thinking this pandemic is around the corner, right? I mean, I just went back and thought through all the things I kind of did, cutting personal things. Renegotiate your mortgage. In fact, just last week, actually, I called a couple bankers and I said, hey, let's talk about rates. And, you know, the Fed just dropped the rate to zero on certain things. Is now a time to refinance my house, right? Or, you know, I was looking to buy a new car and the dealer said, look, I could sell, there's a buddy of mine, I could sell you a car today. My lease is up in like 2 months. He says, but I'll tell you what, you wait about 30 days and the lease rates are going to be a lot better. So just don't make stupid mistakes right now, buying homes at the wrong rates, cars, this, that, leases expiring. You know, shore up whatever you can in your own personal situation, because, hey, what if you could get a line of credit for a $500,000 or something just to have for a rainy day, and you just never know whether it's something personal or business-wise or whatever. The other thing, though, you know, Roland, I do a little bit of speaking and I go out on the road. Of course, you know, I was going to be at Traffic and Conversion.
Yep.
And what's happening to that industry? I talked to a lot of people. One of my buddies had 150 events canceled on him that's in the speaking business, right? Now, I've actually gone back to my accountants and said, hey, I've had about 15 or 20 events canceled. So, I mean, like, they're not going to have to do a lot of accounting for the next 90 days or so. So why don't you give me a little break on my invoicing and my pay, on my receivables and all of that. So now is a good time to do kind of a reset. And I even said to my wife, you know, we probably have dozens of monthly automatic charges hitting us from all different kinds of things that we've ordered and forgot to cancel. And so she's got about 15 of them already that she's boom, 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 you know, that she's stopping. And it just, sometimes you just, things are great. Think you just get a little lazy about things. Now is the time to tighten the belt, look at everything you're doing, all the money that you're spending, all the checks that are going out, whether it's legal, whether it's accounting. I know there was a bank here in town that offered some friends of ours. They said, hey, we're going to give forgiveness for paying your mortgage for a few months if you want. And, oh, well, I don't need that. Hey, take it if they'll offer it, right? You may not need it, but if, when you're getting free kind of, you know, it's not free money because you're going to have to pay it eventually, but take a little leverage if you want, you know?
And it's better to have the cash than pay. I did the same thing with taxes. Even before they gave us the extension to July 15th, business and personal,
right?
I told the accountants, I said, you know what? I would just as soon pay a little bit of interest and have all that money handy just in case opportunities come along or whatever. And Absolutely. So there's, you know, you don't want to not have it when you need it, but it's important to conserve right now. I love what you said about the lease too. Our lease on one of our cars, my wife's car, is actually, our guy told us the same thing yours did. And so we extended it for 4 months to allow the market to catch up with where those prices are going to be.
You know, it's, you get a little lazy when times are good. And so when times get a little tougher, it's time to tighten the belt and look at every situation that you can.
So in your businesses, Kevin, what are you doing to help change, pivot, otherwise increase or maintain sales or minimize the impact that's negative on things? So, 'cause you got different kinds of products, you got essentials, people are still going to buy that. But on the other stuff, tell me what you're doing.
We have product businesses, and that's been my forte primarily for the last 35 years, but I've sit on a bunch of boards. So for example, I'm on 6 or 7 public boards and about another 10 or 12 private companies and advisory boards and board of directors. And so we are calling board meetings on all the companies to communicate with investors, shareholders, consumers, et cetera. Very important. So like one of our companies is called Celsius. This is a energy drink product. And so this company, we have a board meeting tomorrow morning, a virtual board call, 8 a.m. First of all, yes, I'm on the board, but I want to know what is the CEO doing and how are we communicating? What challenges do we have in the marketplace? Because people are asking me, knowing shareholders that I brought into the company, hey, what's going on with Celsius, right? So you need to keep everybody informed, good or bad. And there will be, you know, some bad news in some of the situations, but it's important that you have full transparency there. As a public company, you're required, you know, to keep your investors and shareholders informed. And there are certain requirements that you have when you get into information that needs to be disclosed. That's important because there, I found, you know, there was one or two of the companies was very kind of like clandestine, not wanting to talk much about anything because they were getting hit pretty hard. And so once we finally said, look, you know, we need to take a look at what's going on and what we can do. So in our product side of our businesses, we've had supply issues. We have products coming from China, from Korea. So, hey, if we're going to have a problem with that, we got to be communicating this with, yeah, with QVC, Home Shopping Network, Walmart, Target, et cetera. Because, you know, if they've placed the purchase order and you're not going to be able to make it, there's other people are having similar problems. But again, you've got to be on top of the problems, of supply problems, et cetera, et cetera. Now, in the case of Celsius, and Celsius is not like Hilton hotels, that people aren't, the hotels are closed. So they're not getting revenue. We're still selling product. You know, there are stores that are closed that people aren't buying it. We are seeing a little bit of a downturn, but we're still selling product. So we should be, you know, putting some messaging out that maybe goes to the people that are dealing with their lives in a stressful fashion right now, because we have a healthier product that keeps you motivated, keeps you energized, et cetera. So now I already know a little bit about the direction we're going to be heading there. We're going to be switching some of our advertising over to fitness influencers. And the bottom line is that different strategies are going to work at different times. So we're moving in a little different direction with some of the companies. And then in our product businesses, we're looking for things that are more applicable in this time. Obviously, without saying it, masks and cleaners and sanitizers, all that kind of stuff. But for example, we had a big soap line that we presented to QVC like 6 months ago. And it was an amazing line that had some very unique attributes. Well, we got back to say, hey, look, you know, you kind of took a let's wait and see position 6 months ago. What do you think? They said, bam, let's go. Now's the time. Okay. Nice. So it's kind of like, take a look at what you've been doing, what you can revisit. A lot of our relationships in the selling to the retail stores, the Walmarts, the Targets, the CVSs, the Walgreens, the HSNs, the QVCs, these are fluid relationships, and they're actually reaching out to us now for specific products that they need. And this is now very powerful because usually it's us having to sell them. Now they're actually saying, help us get what we need.
I love it. Kevin, what are you working on now and how should people reach out to you? What are all the good things that you have available for everybody these days?
KevinHarrington.tv is my website. You know, so I'm working on a lot of different products. I mean, we've got the super wrench and the magic saw and the magic hammer on at QVC, cranking it. We got tools and hardware, and we've got eyeglass cleaners. So I've got about a dozen products that are in different distribution points, including retail distribution now. And so, and then I sit on public boards and advise companies and barter for a little equity here and there. So, you know, I'm looking for some great companies to be involved with from an advising standpoint. And sometimes whether they need capital, if I can help, maybe write a check. I don't like writing big checks anymore just because everybody wants a big check, right? So it's pretty easy to do that, but then it's all gone. Okay. Yes. And you don't get it back as fast. So, but I, you know, for Celsius, I brought them an investor that wrote a check for $16 million, and then we raised another $15 around it, and then we raised another $30. We've raised $70 million now, and it all started, you know, with a snowball type situation.
Is that the one you also brought Flowrida into?
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. You brought a major celebrity guy that then went out and talked to all his celebrity friends that all endorsed it and kind of helped blow it up as well, right?
Yeah, Flo brought Khloe Kardashian in, and we were sending her cases a week, and it took off from there with, you know, hundreds of fitness influencers, and now we want to accelerate that whole growth with, you know, paying and getting more and more of these influencers.
Thank you so much for taking the time to come on. I know that you really helped everybody. And it's good to see you.
Hey, great.
You've been listening to Business Lunch with Roland Frazier. If you're enjoying the show, let us know by subscribing and leaving a review. And for more information, go to businesslunchpodcast.com. Thank you for listening.
What if 3 days could change the course of your business in 2023? Get Scalable Live is where you'll gain great clarity on the next steps that will help you create the business, life, and wealth you deserve. Connect with business owners and entrepreneurs just like you, hungry for advice, proven strategies, and necessary connections to grow a business.
Literally, million-dollar conversations are happening in the hallways, in the bathrooms, across tables.
Get Scalable Live at Fairmont Austin, November 2nd through 4th. Tickets are on sale now at GetScalableLive.com.